You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
4 seconds left.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name, well, I should say as always, actually, Matt, I missed the last 2 weeks, but I'm back here with you guys today. My name is Jake Ricker. Alongside me, it's Matt Gannon. Joe could not be with us for today's episode. But don't worry, I have some notes that he sent over, so we'll definitely talk about his opinions for this week. But first and foremost, Matt, how you doing today, my friend?
I'm well, Jake. Glad to have you back. It's been a long 2 weeks without you. You've been, you know, sticking me with Joe the whole time. Come on, man. I wouldn't do that to my worst enemy.
Sorry.
I'm kidding. I love the Joe shows, but I also love the kids' table show with you and I. Of course, you know, the trio that we normally are is the best way to do it, but it's a kids' table show today.
If you haven't seen a kids' table show before, me and Matt like to go off the rails a little bit, especially when it comes to some random fun things. So we're going to have some fun today for sure. Welcome everybody who's joining on with us live already. Oh, yeah, no hats this week because Joe – well, you know, Matt's got a hat on. He's not going to have all the different hats that Joe has, but he's got one. Welcome everybody in who's joining us live. Hey, Beverly, how you doing? Welcome into the show. Appreciate you guys joining in as always. Don't forget, drop your comments down below. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say. Don't forget to follow us on social media at RBR Lightning, and subscribe to the channel, ring the bell notifications, all that good fun stuff so you don't miss out. When we do go live, if you're watching this later, be sure to follow us, you know, when we are talking some Lightning hockey. Matt, before I even want to get into some of the stuff for the Lightning this week, I wanted to quickly mention or shout out the Syracuse Crunch because we were talking about it just before we went live here. I did not realize how good they actually were doing this year. They are 38-19-3-2. By the way, if you're wondering why there's so many numbers there, apparently, I didn't know this, the AHL, the way they show their records is it's wins, losses, overtime losses, shootout losses. So they break it down. It's really weird that doesn't roll off the tongue as much as the three normal numbers that we're all used to. But the Crunch are doing very good this season, is to say. So and Dylan Duke has 30 goals this year, and Jacob Peltier is leading the AHL in scoring as well. So a lot of guys, good success down there in the AHL. Yeah, always good to see.
He's leading the entire AHL in scoring?
As I understand it, yes, he's leading the entire AHL in points.
That's really cool. And he missed a couple games too. He was called up to the Lightning a couple, or like for one, maybe two
That's
games.
Right.
He didn't get to play them, but still being able to lead the league in scoring and missing, let's call it, you know, a game or two, maybe even three. That's pretty darn good. Dylan Duke, you know, I think he's got some pretty good promise. He scored one or two goals for the Lightning last year. I'd like to see him maybe get another shot right now. So good for Syracuse, man. That is a really good record. I'd love to see them, you know, make some noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, not bad at all. By the way, Duke, who has 30 goals, he has 53 points. Peltier has 69 points. He's got 26 goals, 43 a point. I knew you were going to do that as soon as I said it. I knew it was coming, and still. But, yeah, so a lot of good success down there right now. Mitchell Chafee's got 53 points. Connor Geeky's got 56, and he was up with the Bolts for a little while as well. So a lot of good things happening down there in the AHL, which is always good to see for the next future Bolt that could be making an impact before you know it. Speaking of the Bolts, let's talk about them, Matt. This was a pretty nice week. You know, I'd like to say, you know, maybe it was me. I finally come back on the show. We got some good things to talk about. I'm just saying. But a good week overall here for the Bolts. And they really felt like they got back on track this week. I would say, Matt, this was the best week for them since the Olympic break by far. I don't think it's really close. So that's really nice to have for the boys to be able to get back in the full swing of things here and actually start winning games.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It objectively is the best they've played since the Olympics, and the bar is not very high, but I'm kind of split down the middle because it's like you did play some pretty mediocre teams. Like the best team you played was Edmonton, who's kind of listless right now. But at the same time, history has shown that the Lightning do like to play down to their opponents and maybe, you know, barely win or even lose against some of these bad teams, especially on the West Coast road trip. Never really an easy trip, but so I'm split down the middle. It was a great week, and they did not fall into their old habits. So, yeah, it's the best, objectively, they have played since the Olympics, and I love to see it. What a week it was.
Hey, good teams win, right? Got to win against everybody, even the not-so-good teams. Well, let's jump into it and talk about some of those games for the Bolts, starting off with their game against the Seattle Kraken. And, boy, you know, it's interesting. The Lightning, they love to play this Seattle Kraken. They have not lost a game to Seattle since they joined the league. They're undefeated. Vasi has an undefeated record as well, obviously, against the Kraken. And his goals against average, I believe, is like 1.2, something like something ridiculous. Sub 2, he has a 980 save percentage, something like that. I can't remember the exact numbers. He has a really good numbers against the Kraken is what I'm getting at. And the Lightning win this one by a final score of 6-2. So, again, they run away with this game, even though it was a 3-2 game by the end of the second period. But the Lightning come back and score three more in the third period. So a big win for the Bolts, and they continue to dominate against the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, it never really felt like it was all that close from the initial puck drop, really. You know, you get on the board pretty early, 5-6 minutes into the game. But even when it was 3-2, didn't really feel like it. Like, yeah, they came back with two quick goals, but it was really out of reach the whole time for the Kraken. This was, you know, I'm not going to call it utter domination, but again, it just never felt like it was out of reach. It was a great game, great, you know, get back on track game to start this West Coast road trip. I know I said last week, I'm not sure if you were watching the show, Jake, but there's no reason why you shouldn't win all these games in this road. Or yeah, you shouldn't win all these games in the road trip, but what a great way to start it. And man, I mean, burying the lead here with a 5-point performance from Nikita Kucherov, including a hat trick as well, which, man, he just continues to dominate and just show everyone why he's the best in the league. And, a little bit of might be getting ahead of myself here too, but putting him on a line with Brandon Hagel has just been amazing. I don't know if we've seen much of it in the past. I know he used to play on my I like to call it the Einstein line, but man, these two in this game were crazy. Yeah, and Brandon Hagel, the Lightning love playing the Kraken. Brandon Hagel loves playing the Seattle Kraken. What is this, his sixth, maybe seventh multi-point game against them straight? Just insane. What, he have 5 points or 4 points tonight as well?
4 points, only one
four
line.
Points. Lordy, lordy. Yeah, no, he loves to play the Kraken. He just feasts against them.
You guys know this. It's become a little bit of a joke on the show of how much I love Brandon Hagel. But, man, he is just – that guy brings so much energy. It's unbelievable. And he is a really, really good player. I mean, to have 4 points, that's great stuff from Nikita Kucherov. 17 minutes on the ice, too. So he's out there constantly. He's on the penalty kill. He's on the power play. He can do it all. He's a really, really nice player. And we talked about this in our private chat a little bit, Matt, but – I think Hagel is making a run for being one of the best acquisitions all time by the Bolts. You know, now when you get into like best acquisition by, you know, specifically a trade, or you include free agent signing, stuff like that, but he's been one of the best by far. That's how good he has been. And every night he shows up. And again, just his energy level is unbelievable. He's one of my favorite players to watch by far. And yeah, Nikita Kucherov, I mean, 5 points. This guy is just absolutely ridiculous. And I'll get to some of his numbers once we finish up this week, because he's doing things that nobody has done for like over 70 years. I think it was something like that. He's at a ridiculous pace. I've said this before this season, but if you get a chance to go to a Lightning game, don't just watch the game. Watch Nikita Kucherov. Just watch this guy. I mean, it is seriously unbelievable to watch. It's truly special. You know, we say all the time in this world, you know, you want to know when you're out of the, when you're in the good times before you're out of them, right? This is Nikita Kucherov. Enjoy Nikita Kucherov. Watch what this guy is able to do with the puck, because it is unbelievable. I keep saying unbelievable because it really is. I have no other words for it. I mean, he is on another level. He's on another planet against all these other players, and he's been proving it this week.
Yeah, I mean, he is absolutely a future Hall of Famer, and I hate the for whatever reason why he's so overshadowed by some of the other players in the league, why he just does not get the recognition he deserves. Like, it seems like he does for a week, 2 weeks at a time when he's on these crazy paces, but everyone just reverts back to Connor McDavid or Nathan MacKinnon. Like, oh, they're so consistent. He's consistent. I don't know where the disconnect is. I'm sure if his name was like Nicholas instead of Nikita, he would have four straight Hart trophies. I think there's some sort of Russian bias. There's definitely some sort of non-traditional hockey market bias, but I wish the hype with him that he so very much deserves would stay for more than, you know, his, they're not even hot streaks, you know, they're amazing seasons, but when he's, you know, putting up 5 points in a game, and what is it, 14 points in a single week, whatever he did this week, I wish the hype would always stay the same with him. But hopefully, you know, everyone, even non-Lightning fans, can appreciate just watching an already, you know, Hall of Famer right now. Again, you know, he was great a couple of years ago, but he is fully, honest to God, cemented himself as a first ballot Hall of Famer. And you could argue already a top 20 player to ever play the game. And maybe by the time it's all said and done, top 10, he might not scratch that top five, but I'll already, and I know you'll be on my side here. Better than Ovechkin. Yeah, he's the greatest goal scorer ever, hands down. But I think Nikita Kucherov is a better player than Alex Ovechkin.
I 100% agree with that statement. Yeah, you're not getting a lot of pushback from me. But yeah, no, Ovechkin obviously just scored his 1,000th goal, by the way, recently. Unbelievable. But when it comes to as an all-around player, yeah, give me Nikita Kucherov any day of the week. I mean, it is he's that good. He's so good and enjoyable. I mean, he said in his press conferences at one point this week that he, instead of going to the bar and hanging out with people, he likes to stay home and watch tape on other players. Like, who says that? he's an animal, is what he is. And we're only getting started. This was a 5-point night for Nikita Kucherov, and he continued to do that in every single one of these games. But Lightning get a big win against the Kraken, 6-2, starting off this West Coast road trip off right, which, by the way, we are now done with West Coast road trips. So that's going to be, thank goodness, because these 10 o'clock starts, man, they are brutal. You know, game getting done at 12 o'clock. It's tough out here on the East Coast. So Lightning get the big win. They get the 2 points, and then they go over to Vancouver to play the Canucks, who have not had a good year at all this season. And the Lightning beat up on them. They again win this one by a final score of 6-2. Everybody getting involved on the score sheet. Yanni Gourde, good to see him getting some goals as well. Anthony Cirelli, Brandon Hagel, and of course Nikita Kucherov, because why would he not be on the score sheet? So Lightning, another big win, Matt, and even though it is against the Canucks, just good to see them controlling the pace, playing their game, you know, really looking like themselves.
Yeah, somehow this was an even bigger beatdown than the Kraken game. This game just felt lost from the opening faceoff. And yeah, the Canucks are not a good team. I think they're actually the first team to be eliminated from playoff contention this year. But still, a win is a win is a win. You didn't play down to them. You did exactly what you needed to do in this game. And yeah, just the usual suspects, the Nikita Kucherov and the Brandon Hagel show for this week. Even Anthony Cirelli getting in there, Jake Guentzel with a goal, and Yanni Gourde pitching in as well. And I gotta say, the fourth line, is that what, I don't even know what the bottom six, if there is a third or a fourth line, it's just kind of the bottom six, but the Gourdes, Gergensons, and Holmberg line, they were great this game. They were just pinning, you know, the Canucks in their own zone. Yeah, there were a couple period or a couple shifts there where the Canucks were trying to fight back. They came in with numbers, but it really was no big issue. Vasilevsky had a really good game as well. I think he definitely stole a couple shots in this game, stole a couple goals from the Canucks in this game, but he had a great week entirely as well. But yeah, I mean, it was just kind of a carbon copy, if not even a bigger beatdown than that Canucks game. Again, just playing exactly the way they should be.
How about this number for you, Matt? The Lightning in the faceoff dot in this game, 52.6%. There have not been many games where the Lightning have been over 50% on the faceoff, so that's really great to see from the boys. But yeah, domination is really what this game was. They did a great job controlling it the entire time. And how many times have we seen the Lightning where they just had like one or two like really bad periods or some shifts that have really just gotten out of control and the game has fallen away from them? That did not happen in these first two games. And again, the Lightning also scoring first in these games, which is something they were not doing for a long stretch right after the Olympic break. They were in this one and taking advantage of that, building on momentum. So really great to see from the Bolts. Another big win, 6-2 against the Vancouver Canucks. Let's jump over to that game in Edmonton now. And this was kind of a big game, right? Because it was the Tampa Bay Lightning. By the way, Nikita Kucherov in that Vancouver game, only 3 points in that one. So
I said it.
Well, of course, you get McDavid versus Kucherov in this game against the Edmonton Oilers. Now, Kucherov had actually already passed Connor McDavid at this point for the point lead.
I don't think he had.
Had he not? Was it this game that he passed?
I think it was this game. That's what made it so poetic.
I stand corrected. Well, I apologize. Yeah, Nikita Kucherov, another big day as the Lightning win it by a final score of 5-2. Kucherov with 4 points in this game, 2 goals, 2 assists. And I think you are right. He did pass him in this game. So Kucherov takes over the scoring race. It's funny, Matt. I remember on the broadcast they were talking about how, you know, it's going to be tough for Kucherov to maybe catch McDavid because he was, what, 6-7 points behind him, something like that. Don't do it. I knew it as I said it again. He's a decent amount of points behind, and you know, with not as many games played, it's not easy to catch a guy. And then Kucherov goes and scores about 3 points every night, and immediately catches Connor McDavid, which is I got nothing for Nikita Kucherov. I really don't. But big win for the Bolts here, 5-2. And again, Edmonton, who is a playoff team, and there's a lot of talk about how the Pacific Division has not been good this year. But, you know, win's a win, and the Lightning looked really good.
This was the most fun game of the week, in my opinion, of course. 5-2 final will really help with that. But the game was actually just really entertaining across the board. Nikita Kucherov, you know, being 80th in scoring in the month of November and then climbing his way back up, like full-on jetpacking his way up to the leader in the scoreboard, in the standings. And doing it in this game was just so beautiful. Doing it against Connor McDavid in this game. Yeah, McDavid started off the scoring, so he had to kind of climb up a little bit higher, you know, get one extra point to get that. Finishes with, 4 points in this game? Just beautiful. I mean, this game really did cement how good of a season he's having. And I think the best goal, the one that really made me, you know, start to think, we got to have the conversation about him being better than McDavid, being the best player in the world right now, was this shorthanded goal, which was a huge surprise to me. And I remember when he took that penalty and he's coming out of the box, and a great penalty kill, 5-on-3. They didn't get to score on it. Edmonton didn't. Kucherov comes out of the box. I was like, he's going to join the play. Yeah, the guys were hemmed into the zone. He's the fourth guy on. Yeah, you want to go and help your team out. But I was thinking he'd just skate, you know, lazily to the bench and, you know, get a penalty killer on. No, he goes out there. He was out there for, 10 seconds or so, maybe 15. And he was out there killing penalties. And, yeah, whatever. You can say he cherry-picked. But McDavid was trying to hero ball his way in. Gets leveled by Emil Lilleberg. J.J. Moser with maybe one of the greatest passes I've ever seen to find Kucherov in alone on the break, which is a beautiful lob pass. Tom Brady moon ball. Lob pass to Nikita Kucherov, just perfectly placed, and beats who is Connor Ingram in net for his first career shorthanded goal. That's just beautiful.
I'm shocked. First career shorthanded goal.
Like, I was like, wow, you know what? That's very surprising. And I was like, there's no way, you know, there hasn't been like a 6-on-4 situation where the Lightning are killing a penalty and the other team has an empty net and he didn't get one of those. I guess he never has, but first shorthanded goal. It's so funny. It's probably going to be his last one ever too, but it was just such a that game encapsulated this season, the circumstance of Kucherov passing McDavid in the scoring. He gets leveled and Kucherov gets the breakaway goal. It was perfect. It was just absolutely out of the storybook, in my opinion. My favorite part of the game by far, but even still, the other aspects of the game, Vasilevsky was really good. You held the Oilers at bay. Some of the, the rough stuff, the scrappy bits, terrifying there for a bit with Hegel getting hit in the head. He got elbowed in the head, and it was only a 2-minute call, whatever. And then Cirelli fighting, who's Vasily Podkolzin, mismatch right there, and still he looked like he kind of hurt his wrist or something. He had to go to the locker room for a bit. Terrifying sequence of events, but still, I think both of them ended up coming back. I think Hegel in that period and then Cirelli in the third period. Just an absolutely entertaining game. great game all around. And, and this isn't even the best game we played against Edmonton all year. Do you remember the one a couple months ago? It was like a late shutout between both goalies. Edmonton scores real late to make it 1-0. Lightning get a goal back in the last minute of the game and then score that crazy overtime winner. That was an even better game than this one. But let's stick on topic. I rambled on too long, Jake. What are your thoughts?
No, you pretty much nailed it, Matt. I mean, Nikita Kucherov, let's start there, right, with the shorthanded goal. I couldn't believe it was his first shorthanded goal either, even though he really just never plays in the penalty kill. Still, like you said, thought he might have gotten one at some point. That pass by Moser was unbelievable. To be able to drop that in like he did right on the line. And what I love about that play is, again, if you go back and watch this, and again, this goes to what I was saying earlier, watch Nikita Kucherov when he is on the ice. Don't even follow the puck. Watch Nikita Kucherov. If you watch that play again, you can see Kucherov start to come back into the play to kill the penalty. But as soon as he realizes that Lilleberg, there's two Lightning defenders there, but Lilleberg is about to step up on McDavid and they're going to get the puck, he's gone. He takes off. And nobody else does this. So everybody's going up on the play. Kucherov's gone. The Lightning get the puck, and Moser, as you know, sends it on deep, and Kucherov does the rest. I mean, just such good hockey IQ. That's what makes Kucherov so good, is his IQ. It is special what he's able to, how he's able to see the play. I think of it like this. There's a quote from Wayne Gretzky, one of my favorite quotes that Gretzky said, where he said that, "I want to go to where the puck is going to be, not where it is." And that's what I feel like Nikita Kucherov does. He goes to where the puck's going to be, not where it is. And he did that on that play. So really great stuff, as always, from Nikita Kucherov. On Brandon Hagel, you mentioned him. I hate seeing that guy get hurt all the time.
He feels like another head injury, too.
Yes. Sidney Crosby was one that I was talking about, a lot of head injuries. I don't want Hagel's career to get shortened because he's dealing with so many head injuries. It's not great. I don't know why he's always one of the players. He is a feisty player, so maybe that's what kind of draws it sometimes. Mm-hmm. But glad he was able to come back in the game right away, and seems like he's okay. So that was good.
One issue that I have, I kind of touched on it briefly. Why are checks to the head still 2 minutes? I don't want to be the guy that's like, or, you know, make anybody say, "Oh, the game's going soft," you know, blah, blah, blah. But an illegal check to the head, an intentional elbow to the head, it's one thing if it's unintentional, whatever. No, this was an elbow to the head. He chicken winged him, brought the elbow up into the head of Brandon Hagel. Why is it only 2 minutes? Do you want to protect your players or not? Especially against a guy who has had repeated head injuries and targeted head injuries against him. I think it's kind of silly that predatory hits like that can be a minimum of 2 minutes. I think they should be an automatic 5, reviewable. If you can tell that it's predatory and intentional, should be 5.
It boils down to what we've talked about before, Matt, is that the Department of Player Safety just kind of spins a wheel. They really don't care about their players. I think it was 2 weeks ago. I was not on the show, but there were some moments that I thought Brandon Hagel was kind of lucky not to get suspended. It was the Buffalo game. Yeah. Where he was kind of punching on some guys, you know, down late. I didn't love it from Hagel, but I think he was lucky not to get suspended because the Department of Player Safety, they have no consistency whatsoever. And that's just kind of the way it is. I wish I had a better answer for you, but it's unfortunate. They did call a penalty at the very least, so you got something out of it.
And to be quite honest, I was really surprised they got a power play at all, because Anthony Cirelli immediately grabs Pod Colson and starts fighting him, which usually they would call an instigator. You know, you see your guy get hit and you go and fight that guy that hit him. Yeah, you're going to end up in the box too. So I was like, no, Tony, no. First of all, mismatch. Second of all, he got hurt. Third of all, it's like, that's a penalty. So it should be 5-on-5 or 4-on-4. And I was shocked they let Cirelli get away with that as well. Lisa put a comment in the comment section here about AJ Greer. He almost broke a guy's neck. He could have ended that guy's career. That was not just a simple cross check or a simple board, whatever they suspended him for. He got 3 games for it, by the way. I don't know why that wasn't 7 games, 8 games. Like, that was just gutless what he did there. It was a clear intent to injure, the way he motioned his stick down so he would fall down into the boards. Not a cross check up high, it was cross check down low to get, I can't remember who it was, Connor Zary on Calgary, to get him down low and throw him into the boards. It was brutal. 3 games for that is just weak.
Spin the wheel, Matt. spin the wheel. It's a Department of Player Safety.
Department of Panther Safety.
Department of Player of Panther Safety. Yes, exactly. I do want to get to, speaking of comments, one other comment that Ethan said earlier asking what's the top Lightning prospect's name. I believe, Ethan, I'm guessing you're talking about Ryan O'Reilly.
Who the Sam O'Reilly.
Sam O'Reilly, yeah. I've done that before. My apologies, Sam O'Reilly, who the Lightning traded from the Edmonton Oilers for none other than Isaac Howard, which, by the way, Matt, did he play?
No, he actually hasn't played either game against the Lightning. That's so weird.
Well, I was just thinking, because, you know, he's the best player in the world and has to get some NHL ice time, right?
He deserves 30 minutes a night.
Ethan, you'll have to let me know if that's the player you were talking about, but I thought this was a good time to bring it up now, because, you know, listen, he's a young kid. You want to see these kids have success, but, you know, it's kind of poetic the way he talked and what has happened this last year. So, of course, Isaac Howard not involved in this game at all. He's playing down in the AHL. Now, granted, so is O'Reilly, but he's O'Reilly's in the
college, he's not or in the OHL?
OHL, I believe.
Yeah. But yes. I mean, even with how good of a player that Isaac Howard is, you'd think he'd be leading the AHL in scoring, probably 90 goals, maybe 100 goals by now. So it's crazy that even in a lower league that he's not leading the league in scoring. But Jacob Peltier is.
All right. If you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. And Isaac Howard is not doing that. To finish the conversation on Kucherov and McDavid, by the way, Joe, in his notes for us on his thoughts from this week, did say all he said was Kuch greater than sign McDavid. Kuch is better than McDavid, which I think he's right. And by the way, Matt, did you see the comments from Connor McDavid after this game talking about the Lightning?
I did, and then I also read a Barstool article, which was titled McDavid Practically Begging to Get Traded to the Lightning, which that is top-tier clickbait, because that's where I saw the article. That's where I saw what he said. I saw the clips of him saying that the Pacific Division's kind of like a pillow fight, which I thought was really funny, because it is. It's truly an embarrassing division. It's the NFC South of the NHL, which is very, very indicting. But, yeah, I saw his quotes saying how they're – perfectly coached, they played the exact right way, every single game, it seems. Maybe he is practically begging to get traded here. Again, we did a whole show about that.
We did. There were a lot of people that did start to pick up on Connor McDavid, and you're going to Tampa maybe at some point when his contract is up or getting traded. Here's the exact quote, by the way, from McDavid on the Lightning. He said they got a great system, they're perfectly coached, they all know what they're doing all over the ice. It's impressive. They're a great team. They're extremely well coached. They're extremely well organized. They're very well rehearsed, everything that they do. It's very impressive. And when you do break them down, they got a heck of a goalie in back to help them out. So
keep going, Connor. I love hearing that. Right?
That is high praise from Connor McDavid. And I know it's not a great look for the Edmonton Oilers when your player is saying that, but just nice to hear. As a Lightning fan, right? When one of the best players in the NHL right now, maybe even the top player when he's all said and done, is saying that about your second best, yes, about your organization, that's high praise. And again, just goes to show what the Lightning have been able to do as an organization and all the success that they've had over these years. So I thought that was actually really cool.
He's only got 2 years left in Edmonton after this one. He's played for John Cooper twice now, probably a third time at the World Cup of Hockey. Maybe. Yeah, I think.
Do you think Connor McDavid is regretting signing that contract extension a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, with the whole Jari situation, which is just crazy. Lisa also, Ethan put that in the comments about Jari a little bit earlier. He has been just god-awful. Edmonton, I don't know what Stan Bowman is doing there, but it's the wrong decision. He gave up, I don't know, how many millions of dollars. He could have signed an $18 million deal, 20 if he really wanted, and stayed at his current $12.5 million for 2 years. yeah, he's gone. If they don't win, he's gone. If they win, I'm sure he's gone. And he's coming to Tampa to play with Coach Cooper. I'm sure they probably got along great. The way he is just, you know, waxing poetic about the coaching and the players and the culture and everything about it. Why not come to a winning team? Why not come to a tax break haven with perfect weather all the time, a team with a winning pedigree and culture? Also talking about how good Vasilevsky is. None of these guys are going anywhere soon. Why don't you come down and stay in Tampa, Connor?
What do we say? Jet skis, sunshine, and what was the third one that we used to always
Stanley
say?
Cups?
Stanley Cups,
championships,
yes.
Yeah.
Why not? Come on down to Tampa Bay.
It'd be great having go on.
You know what David could do with all that money while he's waiting to come down here? Head over to shop.rblrsports.com and check out some of the awesome Lightning merch he can pick up as well. Shop.rblrsports.com. Use promo code BOLTS as well to get 10% off of everything. It's not just Lightning merch. It's Lightning, Rays, Bucks, Rowdy, Sun, team-inspired merch for you guys. Go over there. Check it out. Links, as always, are in the description below. You can pick up a really cool T-shirt. Help support the show. And we always appreciate it as always. So, yeah. Great stuff from this game. Lightning get another win. Three games in a row, they're winning. And speaking of goalies, Matt, we jump over to the next game. We're going to have a conversation here about Jonas Johansson. Vasilevsky was fantastic in all three of these games. Made a lot of big saves. Great stuff from him. He is back to his old self as well. But the Lightning lose to the Calgary Flames. And Jonas Johansson, there's a lot of things that we are going to have to talk about in this game, but Jonas Johansson was one of the hot topics because he's struggled this year a little bit, especially when you look at the numbers. They're not great from Johansson. And this game, there were a couple of bounces that kind of made your head scratch a little bit. And I know online he gets a lot of hate as well, but, you know, I don't think it's actually as bad as people make it out to be with Jonas Johansson. Matt, I don't know your thoughts on this, but, you know, I think he kind of gets the short end of the stick sometimes. Even though this was a tough loss for the Lightning, you know, overall it's a really good road trip. They got to overtime, and they do get a point out of it.
This game, yeah, maybe people are being a little bit hard on him, but it's because of past games where he has been truly not very good, and it's always, you know, on the – you know, one side of a back-to-back, usually the backside, where, you know, the team's maybe a little tired. Back-to-backs are never easy, but there's goals where you just want him to have that. There's a lot of, you know, unscreened shots that just go right past him where he just doesn't seem ready for it. You know, angles that he doesn't have covered that players can really get into. The overtime goal was a bit weird. You know, that wasn't great defense on the Lightning's part, but there's just people are just rough on him because he never puts up good numbers. He truly, honestly doesn't. You know, he's kind of got to be the Grant Fuhrer of the, you know, 80s Oilers, where you just got to hope that the other team scores a little bit more goals and then you'll look pretty good. Obviously, they don't. You can't score six goals, five goals every single game. This one, it was three, and it took you, you know, a good while to get that third goal. I do think some of the, I'm not going to call it hate, but disgruntlement towards him is definitely warranted. I'm not going to say that I haven't, you know, been upset with him sometimes. This game wasn't one of them, but like the Columbus game a couple weeks ago, that might have been a couple months ago now, they were on a heater, but yeah, there were just some really bad goals. I can't remember. His starts are, you know, so few and far between. Sometimes I like to think that being Vasilevsky's backup is the easiest job in the world, but it's also truly, truly hard. You know, you go 3 weeks without seeing any game action sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not easy to come into games cold like that.
Johansson for this season, actually, I'm looking at this site, and I think something is wrong because, oh, they're just not showing. The NHL must have changed their page again because I'm looking at his stats for 25 to 26, and it has his games played, and then it says wins 10, and then it says shootout 0. So it looks like his record's 10-0, but that's not true. but Johansson, only 23 games played, which is not a lot. And Vasilevsky, I think, is a big reason that Johansson gets some hate as well. And what I mean by that is that Vasilevsky is so good, right? He's should win the Vezina this year with how good that he's been. And he plays so many games that once Johansson comes in and has these not so great games or looks like a normal goalie letting in some of these that Vasilevsky probably normally saves, the comparison doesn't help Johansson by any means. And I do agree with you, Matt, right? Johansson, he's not the greatest. He's clearly not the best goaltender. He's got some issues. He's let in some bad goals. But, you know, it's a little hard to throw him completely under the bus. I said this in our chat when we were talking about this before, Matt, that if it wasn't for Vasilevskiy, the Lightning would have moved on from Jonas Johansson a long time ago. But and Joe pointed this out as well. Johansson is a cheap goaltender. All he has to do is play about 500. So they get a couple of wins and get enough points to be able to make sure that they're in a decent playoff spot. And that's what the Lightning are using him for. And that is true. So I think Vasilevskiy is a big reason that Johansson's even still here in the first place. Because, again, if it wasn't for him, you would rely on Johansson a lot more. Now, if Vasilevskiy got hurt, that's a whole other story. And you would like to have a more confident backup that maybe you could still do something with. But it's a tough situation.
His pedigree doesn't really help him, though. Before the Lightning signed him, because this is what, year four of him being here now? Maybe three? I think maybe year three. Before he was ever on the Lightning, I think he was with Buffalo and Colorado, or Colorado and Buffalo before that. He was coined the worst goaltender in the NHL for a good while before he ever joined the Lightning. And, you know, maybe that's just, you know, just haters, you know, some, you know, terrible Avs fans. Don't like him anyway. But he was named, you know, the worst goaltender in the league for a couple years. And that pedigree does follow him. And I was like, yeah, that's a little rough. He's given us some good games, but he played on some rough Avs teams, you know, pre-2026 Buffalo, which is, you know, purgatory. Obviously, you know, the stats aren't going to be that good, but he does not have the resume. He doesn't have the stats or pedigree for me to say maybe he's better than what we've seen. Maybe, you know, we're a little too hard on him. I think he is what he is. Maybe the hate, you know, he's getting right now is definitely a bit unwarranted, but nobody's immune to criticism. I think he could be better. I think the guys playing in front of him could be better, but it seems way more often than when Vasilevskiy plays, obviously, that I'm like, I wish I had that one back. I wish I had that one back. That one just beat him clean, just went right over the glove, wasn't ready for it. I see a lot of that. Maybe he's a guy that, as weird as this might sound, you know, be better as a starter. You remember he was really solid for us when Vazzy was recovering from his surgery, what was that, 2 years ago? Is Johansson's first stint here? He was pretty good in a consistent basis. He wasn't amazing, but I think he was over 900, which is over or right around 900, which is what you'd really ask for your backup goalie. That's not what we're getting. I'd like to be in that 890, you know, the mid 890 range. But do you even have his stats up right now? Because I know it's probably.
I do. I was just getting ready to start talking about him here. So Johansson, his first year, he played in 26 games. He's played the most games by far with the Lightning. He only played a max of about 9 games, as with Colorado in 2021, 2022. But his first year with the Bolts, he finished with a 3.37 goals against average, had an 890 save percentage. When it comes to wins and losses, he was 12-7 with 5 overtime losses. And then this year, he has a 3.26 goals against average, an 883 save percentage, and is 10-9-2 when it comes to his record. So the numbers are pretty consistent for what he's done in the last couple of years. But again, you know, I kind of just go back to, the Lightning don't have a ton of goalie depth. And again, Johansson's a cheap guy that they've been able to keep here. You look at the Syracuse Crunch we were talking about earlier. You've got two guys in Ryan Fantini and Brandon Halverson down in Syracuse. And both of them have been good. They haven't lit the world on fire. For Halverson, 2.28 goals against average. He is 23-7-4 with a save percentage of .909. And then Fantini has a 2.44 goals against average. He is 12-12-1 with a .903 save percentage. So, again, the Lightning just don't invest that much in goalie depth because they know they don't have to with Andrei Vasilevskiy, right? He is that good. He is that unbelievable of a goaltender that you really don't have to worry about it that much. The only time that becomes an issue is if he does get hurt. So I wouldn't mind Lightning exploring a new backup goaltender at some point. But it's not a pressing issue, and you kind of just, you know, go to Johansson and say, listen, do what you can, try to win some games for us and get some extra points. And he has been doing that. He's been sitting right about 500, just under 900 save percentage, where he's treading water, but he's got his head up just far enough to where he can stay on the team.
I don't know. I don't think 883 is, you know, good enough for me to say he's treading water. I think that's below par, not good enough, in my opinion. You know, the 890 and the 895, that's on the lower end of what I want. Of course, you know, I want a 930 goalie as my backup goalie. That'd be great, but that's just not how, that's just not how it works. But 883 is rough. And I know I'm only looking at one stat, but the eye test doesn't pass. I'm definitely, you know, taking the road of being pretty hard on him right now as well, which I feel kind of bad for, because, again, I do appreciate what he's done, what he does for us. Again, I don't think he was bad in this game at all, but it does seem like every year it's a little bit more and more of a decline, what I'm seeing. We do have one more year after this of Jonas Johansson, but I can't imagine after this he'll be sticking around with the team. I think there's good backup options everywhere. I mean, the Avalanche, they got Scott Wedgwood, who was actually their starter for a good chunk of this year for pretty cheap. I think he makes like $2 million or something, maybe a little bit more, but that's what Johansson makes. He makes $2 million a year, I'm pretty sure. So there's guys out there, and the pro scouting staff that we have is second to none. I know backup goalies or just any goalies don't grow on trees regularly like that. You have to acquire them via trade. You know, free agents don't really come around. Great free agents don't come around like that too often, but I think it is an area that you should look to upgrade. Maybe not this, you know, off season, but maybe when his contract is expiring.
You know what guy I really wanted the Lightning to sign when he became available was Jonathan Quick.
Yes.
He actually had, he is 23 games played. He's has 5 wins, 3.18 goals against average, and 889 save percentage. His numbers aren't even that much better than.
Yeah, but he's also on the terrible New York Rangers. Well,
yes, he is also on the terrible New York
Rangers. And he's like 40.
And he's got a pretty cheap. He signed a 1-year extension with the Rangers for $1.55 million, I believe it was. So there's definitely options out there that they could go to, and I wouldn't be surprised if they explored at some point. I think Johansson will stick around for a little bit since he's got that extra year on the contract. And again, the Lightning are fine with their situation because they know come playoff time, it's going to be Andrei Vasilevskiy, and the Lightning have won enough games where they don't have to worry about needing a backup to get them huge wins where they're on the edge of potentially missing the playoffs. And I think that's the bottom line. Let us know, though, down in the comments below, if you agree, do you disagree, do you want to see a new backup goaltender? Are you okay with Jonas Johansson? We'd love to hear what you guys have to say. All right, before we get to the three stars of the week here for us, Matt, I do want to mention something that I almost forgot to talk about in that Edmonton game. I need to bring this up. I was really, really impressed by the power play in that game. First power play that the Lightning had. They were having a bunch of problems even entering the zone. They couldn't do it. Brian Engblom actually called it out on the broadcast, who was doing the game, by the way, with Dave Mishkin, who made his TV debut, which I didn't know that was his first game on TV either. But Dave Randorf and Dave Mishkin did a swap for the last three games of that road trip. But anyway, during that power play, they were having some issues, and they kept dropping off to Kucherov, and Edmonton was all over it. And then they made an adjustment, right? They took it in the zone. They got it in, got it set up, then got it to Kucherov. Everybody pulled up to Kucherov. They gave it down low to Gensel. Gensel walked right out in front and put in the back of the net. That was one of the best power plays I've seen from the Lightning all year long, and I wanted to shout that out because it was really impressive. The way they adjusted mid-power play, something they did not do early on.
Yeah, I was about to say, maybe not the best power play that I've seen, but, you know, a great adjustment. I know exactly the goal you're talking about. It was great. You know, you're obviously everything runs through Kucherov, and Kuch got the primary assist, but that's what's great about Jake Gensel. He's so versatile, but he's the net front or behind the net, side the net guy. He's nowhere more than 5 feet away, and that's also kind of given Braden Point a little bit of room in the slot as well because you've got such a good threat down low now. And yeah, just a great adjustment. It's not working. Finally, you get it to Kucherov. You establish yourself in the zone, and they think you're going to send it back to Radish or get it over to Braden Point. Boom! Jake Gensel steps out right in front. I do think it was a little bit of a misplay by Evan Bouchard there. No shocker. Who really committed hard to Kucherov, but that's just, you know, how he plays. You know, he's going to fake you out so good and make you forget that Jake Gensel is right there knocking on the door. So it was a great adjustment there. I did love seeing that goal.
I love seeing the adjustments. You know, not everything's going to work out all the time, and they made a great adjustment. So I wanted to talk about that before we got off the games. All right, man.
And also, real quick too, what a treat having Dave Mishkin do the TV games. You know, those three games. It was so random. I don't think there's any real reason why him and Dave Randorf switched. But I mean, I wish they would do it more. I do really like Dave Randorf. I'm not, you know, that. You know, it's getting smaller and smaller, the people that don't like Dave Randorf, but I just adore Dave Mishkin. I think he, you know, I always try and watch, if I'm doing the recaps, always try and watch the radio recap that Bolts Radio posts. And it's just, it was such a treat watching him. And I think it's funny. He didn't really adjust his broadcast style. Like, you know, it is different, you know, radio versus TV. I forget.
It's very different.
Who might have said it, but you know, with radio, you're describing the play to someone Correct. Who's not watching it. You're, you know, you're making them picture exactly what's happening. And then a TV broadcaster kind of explains why everything's happening, and maybe not in as much detail, but maybe with a little bit more pizzazz in other areas. But I thought it was so funny that Dave Mishkin did not change his broadcasting style a bit. But I think he does also pair really well with Brian Engblom. I know he's done some radio games. You know, if it's a TNT or ESPN game, he'll do some color commentary with Mishkin. But it was such a treat. I loved seeing it. I'd love it if they did a little bit more. Did you get to catch any of Randorf's radio calls?
A little bit, because while scrolling on social media, Bolts Radio would pop up and I'd hear Dave's calls. And he did a good job. I thought he fit in well. I don't know. Someone brought up the point that he may have been calling the games remotely because they had normally on these games, as we all know, Phil Esposito, he does not travel with the team because he's the one that normally does the color commentary with Mishkin. But he did do some of the games on this road trip. So we're wondering if they did them remotely. I don't know that for a fact. But I thought Randorf was
in Seattle, though. So it's weird. You know, you fly out to Seattle unless, you know, right. He had some prior obligations or something. You know, this was planned, you know, whatever it might be. It's not our place to speculate whatever it was. Obviously, it's not a huge deal, but maybe that's what it was. You know, he had to be back in Tampa. They do the games remotely, so maybe that's what it was.
I don't know what it was. It is good that it doesn't seem like it is anything major. Because, by the way, I have to give a shout-out. We've given the social media team a little bit of a hard time sometimes here on this show, but I did think their little video with Dave and Dave and doing the – Dave dropped the mic and then goes down and Mishkin pops up. I thought that was pretty funny. That was entertaining. You know? So it was fun. It was fun. It's something different for them. Maybe that's what it was. They're like, hey, why don't we give the fans a taste? You know, if you watch the radio all the time, you never hear Dave Randorf. Now you get to hear him a little bit. Same thing on the TV side.
So, I'd love it if Phil got to do some TV color commentary. That would be funny.
Yes, you're 100% right. That needs to happen. That's what we need next. We need the color commentators just to swap for a couple of games when they're back home. That would be pretty funny. All right.
You know what? Do one better. Rick Peckham. Bring him back in for one game. I know you'd love that.
Well, remember when he filled in for a little bit?
Because they played horribly those games.
Yeah, they didn't do him justice. Oh, man, I miss those guys so, so much. I was like, we've had a lot of good broadcasters over the years. The Lightning are very lucky. With some of the guys that have been calling games for Rick Peckham's been doing it for how long?
20
until Dave Randorf came in. So a lot of good commentators for the Bolts. All right, we're gonna get to our three stars. I promise. See, man, we said it. We go off the rails sometimes on this Kids Table episode. All right, three stars of the week. Let's start with the number three star. There are a lot of guys who played extremely well, but this is going to a guy who, you know, has been making a name for himself, always competing for Team Canada right on that line. Some people didn't think he should make it, but he's proving why he should be on that roster. That's Anthony Cirelli, 4 goals, 4 assists for 8 total points and was a +5. So Cirelli earns the third star of the week.
You can thank me for this because I had him on my fantasy team and I dropped him for Gage Gonsalves, who also had a decent week, but not as good as Anthony Cirelli. But in the same way that Dave Mishkin did not change the way he called these games, Anthony Cirelli never changes the way that he plays these games, even being paired up with Nikita Kucherov, who he doesn't get to play with a whole heck of a lot. he was still the exact same. You know, he'll pitch in an assist. He's going to stay net front. He's going to be grinding and forechecking, doing exactly what you know he's going to do, playing great defensively. And I thought he paired up really well being the center on that line with Kucherov and Hagel. Just played the exact same way and got rewarded for it. Some nice, dirty, greasy goals that Cirelli's known so great for, and a pretty nice empty net or two in that Edmonton game to seal it off. I was a little bummed that he got that because I was hoping Kucherov could get that fifth point and just really stick it to McDavid, but I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, great stuff from Anthony Cirelli here in third star of the week. Number two star, speaking of guys that play alongside Nikita Kucherov this week, that goes to the future captain, Brandon Hagel, who 2 goals, 6 assists for 8 total points and was a +8. Great stuff from Brandon Hagel. Again, we talked about him earlier, brings that energy, brings that feistiness, and is a really good offensive player as well.
Yeah, I mean, everything I said about Anthony Cirelli plus some. Like, he, you know, he's gritty, loves the forecheck, he loves defense, great penalty killer, great speed, and just for whatever reason, the chemistry with him and Kucherov this week, I hope it keeps up. If they're, you know, still on the same line together, you know, in these coming weeks, it'd be great. The line seems to be working out very well. But yeah, man, just what a player he is. He's exactly, no, he's more than advertised. You know, he's so underrated as well. He's probably the most underrated player in the league. I say this every time he's on the Stars list, which seems every week, every other week, but he only makes a little over $6 million, and we've got him for 6 extra years after this. How blessed are we, Jake? And he's going to stay longer than that, too, because obviously if you're a captain, you're not going to want to leave. So, you know, we just got to wait out, you know, Victor.
Oh, man, we are extremely blessed with Brandon Hagel. It's been a pleasure to watch him. He's one of my favorite players by far, as you all know. Now, when it comes to the number one star, any guesses to who this could be, man? I mean, I know
Bonus Holmberg.
Hey, Holmberg had a really nice week himself.
He did.
So what he was able to do. But no, it is going to none other than Nikita Kucherov, who was also the number one star of the NHL this week. 6 goals, 7 assists, 13 points, and he was a plus. Are you ready for this, Matt? 11. He was a plus 11 on the week. He's averaging 3.25 points per game over this 4-game span. Has the shorthanded goal as well in there. He's now the points leader in the NHL. It is ridiculous what Kucherov has been able to do. And I'm trying to pull up some stats right now, Matt, because he is in elite company with the things that he's been doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think since November 22nd, he is pretty darn close to 2 points a game from November. By the way, we're almost through March now. Yeah, there was the Olympic break there, but almost 2 points per game for more than half the season, and there's still games to go. And he's missed some games as well, and now he's in the points lead. It's insane. And we made a big deal about, you know, him catching up to McDavid. Okay, he passed Nathan MacKinnon, who had one of the hottest, craziest starts we've ever seen in the last 25 years. And MacKinnon has played more games than either of those guys. McDavid had kind of a slow start. I think that's extremely impressive right there, to be able to pass MacKinnon, who's cooled down a bit, who's got the best team objectively. What's his excuse? No, Nikita Kucherov is, in my opinion, I think this week it did seal it for me, probably the best player in the league right now. Subject to change, but and also has been over the last 3 years. Since his second Hart trophy when MacKinnon stole it from him. Still mad about that. I think he's been the best player in the league since then. Yeah, you can bring up the playoffs and he hasn't scored a goal in 3 straight years. Again, by the way, you know, he's the playmaker. He's Nikita Kucherov. He's the best passer in the league. He still led the team in points in most of those playoff years, despite not scoring a goal. He's the setup man. And it's unfortunate. You ran into the defending or the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions in back-to-back years. 1 year was the Maple Leafs. We won't talk about that. But again, he's got the playoff resume to prove that. It just so happens to be in different years. So bad things happen when he wins the Art Ross, you know, sweep, lose to Florida, and then lose to Florida. But
this year's different, Matt.
This year, it feels different. It really, truly, honestly does. And I know I was just saying he's the setup man. He's the best passer in the league, which is objectively true. But he's third in goals now. He hit the 40-goal the 40-goal mark. He does it all. He does it all. And you're somebody, and probably nobody in this show, but there's a lot of people say, well, he doesn't play defense. He doesn't do that. He doesn't back check. Go watch that Edmonton game. Take out the shorthanded goal. I don't care.
He was a plus 11 this week. Plus 11.
You can leave that shorthanded goal out. You can say he never scored it because it was a bit of an anomaly. He was amazing defensively in that game. He had some great stick lifts. He laid the body. You know, it's Nikita Kucherov laying the body, but he was back checking his behind off. He was great that game defensively. It's underrated. It's overstated how irresponsible he might be defensively. I think that is such a washed argument. Yeah, there's some bad turnovers or maybe some lazy plays here and there that get highlighted. McDavid and McKinnon do the same thing. Cale Makar, I know, different, but you know, he's having a pretty rough year defensively, and people are still going to bow down to him. Why doesn't Kucherov get the same level of respect or naivety when it comes to defense as some of these other elite players get? I'm not sure, but go watch that Edmonton game again. Take the shorthanded goal out. He was Selke level in that game. Do not care. My rant is about over, Jake. I do apologize.
No, man, that was fantastic stuff. Well done and well said. And listen, I've said before myself that even when Kucherov has been bad defensively, honestly don't care with how many points he's able to put up. You know, you're kind of allowed to be bad somewhat defensively when you score as much as Nikita Kucherov has done. Right now, Kucherov is more likely to get a 4-point night than he is a 0-point night. Let that sink in for a minute. It is unbelievable the things that he has been able to do. He is scoring at an unbelievable pace. We said for this week that he was, you know, over 3 points per night. I believe on this season, he is very close to be scoring 2 points per game right now. He's the MVP, and it's not even close, Matt. Like, there should not be even a conversation of who the MVP should be. It's Nikita Kucherov. It's not even close. I mean, the things that this guy's been doing at his pace that he's been scoring. 5 days ago, this was posted, Kucherov had 60 points since the start of the new year. That was 5 days ago. And he had how many points this week? 13? he is unreal what this guy has been able to do. And you look at some of the list of what, you know, comparisons of, you know, these stretches of hockey where I think, what was the one stat? It was most 4+ point nights on the road over a 5-game span, something like that. Yeah, he's
tied for first, I think, or maybe even in first.
It's like him and Mario Lemieux. Like that's the was he good? He's with right now. Wayne Gretzky, he's up there with two on some of these stats. Like, if you get him, just Google Nikita Kucherov stats as of late, and it's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous.
I don't have the exact stat in front of me either, but it was something like since the new year, since a certain stretch. And it wasn't a high amount. I mean, it wasn't a high amount of games. It was a high amount of points. Let's call it 60 or whatever it was since the new year. So now 73. But when I saw it a couple days ago, it was Kucherov since the new year has more points than X amount of teams' leading scorers. And it was a high amount. Let's call it 20 teams, maybe even more. 24 teams' leading scorers in a 3-month span. From the other players get the start of the year until present day, he gets from the start of the calendar year, has more points than 24 other teams' leading scorers. Just crazy Gretzky levels of stats right there. I think if he took all his goals away too, he would probably be in the lead by a wide, wide margin against some other teams' leading scorers.
I saw some stats that were saying, and again, this is depending on the time frames, but like Kucherov had more points than the New Jersey Devils had goals in a span. It's ridiculous. And there's nothing against the New Jersey Devils, but it's so good Nikita Kucherov has been. And you just wonder what he's going to do next. He's been doing this on the road. He's coming home now where you don't have these long nights. You get to sleep in your own bed. It shouldn't be close that Nikita Kucherov should win the MVP. Who knows what he's going to finish with when it comes to points. That's actually a good question here, Matt. So Kucherov right now is at he's at 119 points. That's unbelievable. 119 points we got what, 13, 14 games left, I believe it is, for the season. You know, where is he going to finish at on the season when it comes to points? And of course, if you remember, he set the record, franchise record, at 128 back in 2018 to 2019.
No, you're wrong.
I'm wrong.
144.
144.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, correct. I'm sorry. 104. He had 144
points. Yeah. We're talking about his season so dramatically, and it's like he's put up a higher amount of points. I doubt he's going to get to that 144 mark again. Again, he had 100 assists that season, which is crazy, but there is an outside shot. You know, 100, and he's, you know, scoring at a almost 2 point per game clip. He's got 13 more to go. Maybe he can get 145. That would be pretty crazy. I don't think it's going to happen. You know, he's obviously going to have some cooler games like this Calgary game. You know, he was, what, he had 1 or 2 points that game? I can't quite remember, but, oh, man. You know, I'll go with, there's 13 games left, so that if he is scoring at 2 points per game, you know, 26 points. I'll go 138. Call back to a good Misfits song.
You know, he's not like, so he needs what? He had 100 assists and 44 goals that year. He had 144 points, and he's sitting at 40 goals and 79 assists. So it's not crazy to think with the way he's been playing that he could. I mean, he scored an average of 3 points a night, almost 4 points a night this week alone. So it's going to be fun to watch Nikita Kucherov down this stretch to see where he's going to finish. Give that man the MVP. Shouldn't even be. I know we're chasing more important trophies when it comes to the awards, but there's no question that he deserves it by a country mile. So Nikita Kucherov, first star of the week. He is an elite company, and he is a absolute joy to watch. All right,
it's got to be one of our longest stars, you know, single stars highlights maybe ever in the history of this show.
It probably was. Normally we just sit here and go, what else you got to say about Nikita Kucherov? He's that good. But, I mean, he's been so good that – we're actually talking more about it, even though we still have nothing to say about it. That even makes any sense. Like,
we've ran out of words so many times that he keeps making us run out of words. There is an entire new dictionary of words that we can come up with just to talk about how damn good he is.
It is truly, truly amazing to watch. And again, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Soak it all in. He's not going to be here forever. This is a once in a lifetime type of player that we are watching play hockey right now. All right, last thing we need to do, Matt, here is to look ahead for the Bolts at the week ahead. Finally, a nice little home stretch coming up for the Bolts. They just wrapped up that West Coast road trip. Lightning going to be taking on the Minnesota Wild here on Tuesday, the 24th. That game at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. That is a weird – oh, because that's a national TNT game, which is why that is at 7:30. And then they're going to be taking on the Kraken once again. So mark that one in the books for a win. I'm going to knock on wood real quick just in case. They're taking on the Kraken at 7 p.m. Eastern. Then they will have the Ottawa Senators on the 28th at 1 p.m. Eastern. So early start for the Bolts on that game. And then on Sunday, the 29th, they'll play the Nashville Predators again at home at 5 p.m. Eastern. And then we should be back for another show here on Monday. But a long home stretch of at least 5 games here for the rest of the month before we get into April. They're going to have 2 more in April as well. So a 7-game home stretch coming up here for the Bolts. Always nice to be back home. A big chance for the Lightning to stockpile a bunch more points.
What an interesting schedule. I'm glad it is a homestand, but you know, you got the Wild on TNT. Hopefully that'll be on the Lightning app as well. But yeah, the Wild, the Kraken, the Senators, you know, good divisional matchup right there. And then the Predators as
always
well.
A weird game between the two.
Wild, they've been kind of faltering a little bit. We know the record against the Kraken. Hopefully they keep that up. Senators games always weird. And then another Steven Stamkos homecoming. That should be pretty fun. I think he's a player that deserves 2 video tributes. Do another one. Who cares?
Yeah, honestly, I would agree with you. And Predators have been they've been a weird team this year. They were really bad, and they had a really good run for a while. And I think they've kind of leveled back off once again. But listen, Stamkos is going to be home in the building, so that's always a special game.
Yeah, they're always up, down, left, and right. The Preds are weird, but yeah, hopefully Stammer Yeah, you know, he's been gone long enough that I would not cheer for a Stamkos goal. I wouldn't feel good about it at all.
I still would. To be honest with you, I don't think I could. It's just, it's Steven Stamkos, man. I mean, how could you not? Mm-hmm. I do quickly want to pull up the standings here too. Lightning right now sitting in second place in the Atlantic Division. The Buffalo Sabres, they have been a wagon as of late. It's ridiculous the run that they are on. But Lightning in second place, a couple games behind Buffalo, 91 points for the Lightning. We're still a little bit of ways away from starting to talk about clinching scenarios for Tampa.
I think the magic Colorado number is 18 right now.
18. All right. So we're getting there. We're going to really start talking about that soon. The Avalanche and Stars have already clinched their ticket to the playoffs. Now, granted, they're in the West, very different over there than it is in the East when it comes to the points. Somebody put this out, by the way. I think it was 12 teams in the Eastern Conference that could be in first place in the Pacific Division if they were over there, which is ridiculous. Actually, I can look real quick. The Ducks have 82 points, and that just beats out the Ottawa Senators, who are sitting at 81, I think, after the Ducks win. But a lot of good teams in the East right now. Lightning sitting in second place. Not a bad place to be. Right now, their opponent, though, Matt, would be the Montreal Canadiens.
Give them to me. Because, I do.
Well, I think Lightning could beat the Canadiens, but the Canadiens are a sneaky little team. It's not the team you want to be playing in the first round. Fix this playoff format. Jeez. Mm.
I'll take the Canadiens. I'm not worried about them at all. I think they're kind of paper tigers, too inconsistent, bad goaltending, bad defense. I think the Lightning pair up with them pretty well. They're a high-scoring team. You got the best goalie in the league. No question. I'd take them any day. Buffalo scares me. I don't think we're going to play them. There's little chance they fall to the wild card two spot. Would not want to play Ottawa. They're making a strong push right now as well. So
Ottawa's just that team, too, that they play weird against.
Mm-hmm. Just weird teams, but I'd take the Canadiens. I think we're undefeated against them. I think we've only played them twice, maybe, and one of them was in the finals. So give them to me again. I ain't worried.
We are getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. Got to play the games at hand, right? Win those points and worry about who you're going to play in the playoffs when that time comes. But that is the road ahead for the Bolts. Guys, that is going to do it for us in this episode. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in with us. We'll be back next week to recap the week ahead for the Lightning. So be sure to follow us on social media. Ring that bell for notifications. All that great fun stuff so you don't miss out on these future videos. But with that said, we'll talk to you guys in the next one. And as always, go Bolts.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.